Suzanne Buckham is the author of Past Imperfect from Anansi Press, which won the 2006 League of Canadian Poets Gerald Lamford Award. And she has written the chapbook Interiors from Delirium. Her work has appeared in numerous journals in Canada and the U.S., most recently in Poetry, A Public Space, and the Boston Review, as well as the anthologies The New Canon and Breathing Fire, Canada's New Poets. Her work has been translated into French, German, Spanish, and Slovenian, which just sounds really funky to me. And she's participated in literary festivals across North America and Europe. Twice nominated for a Pushcart Prize, she won the CBC Literary Award for Poetry in 98, and she currently teaches creative writing at the University of Chicago, so she knows her stuff. Please, a warm, deafening hand for Suzanne Buffum.
Thank you so much, Cynthia. No, doesn't go lower? That's probably fine. Oh, okay.
It's always better to
thank you. You could actually turn your cell phones back on, because I could use some free drinks. Thank you very much for that warm introduction, and thanks for coming out on this cold night. It's nice to be in Chicago, it's nice to be away from Chicago. And here, where I actually have some familiar friends. Aslan and I went to school together, so it's really lovely to see her here. I'm actually going to read all poems from my forthcoming book called The Irrationalist, which should be out, I think, in April with Anansi. I just got tired of reading from my first book, so I'm not going to read anything from there. I'm going to just start. Without further ado, the new experience. I was ready for a new experience. All the old ones had burned out. They lay in little ashy heaps along the roadside and blew in drifts across the fairgrounds and fields. From a distance, some appeared to be smoldering. But when I approached with my hat in my hands, they let out small puffs of smoke and expired. Through the windows of houses, I saw lives lit up with the otherworldly glow of TV, and these were smoking a little bit too. I flew to Rome. I flew to Greece. I sat on a rock in the shade of the Acropolis and conjured dusky columns in the clouds. I watched waves lap the crumbling coast. I heard wind strip the woods. I saw the last living snow leopard pacing in the dirt. Experience taught me that nothing worth doing is worth doing for the sake of experience alone. I bit into an apple that tasted sweetly of time. The sun came out. It was the old sun, with only a few billion years left to shine. This is my reading in a bar poem. It's called Happy Hour. I'll have an ice cap. Make it a double. Bring me a fog on the river, a Niagara Falls on the rocks, and a tempest with a chaser of hail. I don't want to be rescued. I want to crawl through a honeycomb of subglacial passageways, shove my head under God's faucet, and keep chugging until I pass out. I want thirst to drink me. I want to come back as a bucket of blood. I have a baby at home who my husband is trying to teach after she takes a big sip out of her bottle to say, ah, refreshing. She's got the part down, so. Okay. I think I will read a translation of a Paul Eluard poem. The book opens with an epigraph from Paul Eluard, which is, there is another world, but it is inside this one. And this poem is called To Live Here. I built a fire the blue sky having abandoned me. A fire to befriend. A fire to introduce me to the winter night. A fire to live better. I fed it what the day had fed to me. Forests, foliage, wheat fields, vines, nests and their birds, houses and their keys, insects, flowers, furs, festivals. I lived with the solitary sound of crackling flames, with the solitary perfume of their heat. I was like a boat coursing in closed water. Like the dead, I had but one element. Ideal world. Not just as imperfect, but as in not material, I guess, basically. Nothing matters in an ideal world. Not the stones you skip, not the fat birds overhead. Run your fingers through the sand all day. Lie still as a ship at the bottom of the sea. Stick out your tongue and taste the wrecked century in a melting snow cone purchased for a peso. All you taste is the taste of it. Light plucks the coins from your eyes. The heart spends its store on a few everlastings jutting from cracks in the boardwalk. Call it a kingdom, nevertheless. Watch the light black canopy lower from the west, where a rust-stained tanker spins a slow pirouette en route to oblivion via Sudan. If you feel lonely, it's because you were born this way. If there are clouds here, they must be ideal clouds. Clouds you can see through. Does that mean I should stop? Or I was just going to read a few more, so I don't know. But yeah, I've got some little poems. They're sort of micro poems that are. They're called Little Commentaries. The central section of the book is called Little Commentaries, which is the title. Little Commentary was the title of this little pamphlet published by Copernicus, in which he lays out his heliocentric theory of the universe. It's like a two-page handwritten sewed booklet that in which he makes his claim there is no one center of the universe. So these are little commentaries, and they're on just a wildly random assortment of topics. And I'm just going to read a little handful of them. As a young man, Galileo understood very well the workings of the pendulum. But not until he was an old man approaching the hour of his death did he devise the pendulum clock. On attachment. A house burns all night in the middle of a field. A beautiful sight, even if the burning house does happen to be mine. Sooner or later, all burning houses will be mine. On valleys. To be a valley, find a hill, and lie down at its feet. On clouds. To be a cloud, find a hill and swallow it. On ghosts versus zombies. Soul without a body or body without a soul. Like choosing between an empty lake and the same empty lake. On love poems. A friend says relationships are only good for two poems. One at the beginning and one at the end. Stevens says better to peddle pineapples than write love poems, unless you happen to be in love, that is. When your lover shows up with a basket of fruit, thank him in advance for the poem you will one day receive. On quandariness, I do not know which to prefer, the beauty of Nova Scotia or the beauty of France. Ducks landing on the salt marsh, or poached in their fat on my plate. On dining in Paris, take small bites. Chew your food before swallowing. Do not expect the waiter to congratulate you. They do that in the U.S. Wow, you're really eating good. You're still working on that? It's like a project you're working on. And when the steaks are 28 ounces, it is a project. On drinking in Paris. Greet the new Beaujolais with a mixture of fondness and disdain, like a childhood friend from the provinces, or yet another Oscar-winning picture starring Gerard Depardieu. On parakeets. Practice concentrating on an empty stomach. Practice making love with a terrible sunburn. Practice walking with little dried peas in your shoes. Sprinkle sand in your food. Sprinkle salt in your tea. Pitch your tent in a howling gale. Soon you'll be ready to live in the house on the hill next door to the house full of parakeets. On Borges. Put one dream inside another. On flags. Few things are more stirring than a flag in the wind. A problem of aesthetics versus ethics. All morning I study a tea towel drying on the line. A flag without a country is like desire without an end. On invective. Fuck you and the horse you rode in on is often just another way of saying come back. On geological time. Enjoy the view while you can, Mount Everest. On inverse relations, the pleasure I feel when I say the word trousers is equal, exactly, to the discomfort I feel when I say the word slacks. I just hate that word so much. Which is funny because I really like the word slack. But on relativity, a pygmy hippopotamus is roughly the size of a large family dog. A capybara is an enormous guinea pig, roughly the size of a very small horse. The smallest horses wear very small shoes, roughly the size a fairly large person would wear during infancy, a brief phase if you're a human, a lifetime if you are a fly. Just a couple more of these. On Antigone. Law spoke, and the land bit its lip. Why spit in the wind? Love, too, is a law. And the last of these, on everyone. Everyone loves a balloon in the sky. It is head-shaped and floating away. It knows not why it goes, nor where it'll be, nor where it will be when it gets there. It wags its little tail and disappears. And lastly, I'm going to close with a poem called A Perfect Emergency. It was already aflame when I spotted it there in the parking lot. Kids were standing around throwing sticks at it, kicking dirt in its face. All I could do was look on in pity as it thrashed at the air like a tiny, vengeful sun. But like a tiny, vengeful sun, the burning bush didn't want pity. When I approached with my hands in my pockets, it shook out its golden locks and sang in a language I could see. I am the unburnt bush, it cried. I am burning but flourishing. I am swallowed, but I am not consumed. In my head was a page from a musty old book with its useless list of Latin verbs. Before me, I could see all the lives I might have lived, lined up and leaping through the same burning gate. It was a perfect emergency. The only thing worth saving was the blaze. Thanks.